When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Casey Covers Country.
Good morning. Welcome back to another Casey Covers Country podcast. How we doing? Pretty uneventful week here at WIL. I'll say we made a concert announcement. Randy Houser, Justin Moore are co-headlining at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on August 12th, and I've never seen a co-headlining show. I know Miranda Lambert and Little Big Town did this a couple years ago. I didn't actually stay for the show. I just came in to welcome everybody, all the listeners, and then I left. So I'm really interested to see how it goes. But we have another huge concert announcement next week, coming on Monday, I think 8 a.m. It's probably one of my favorite concert announcements we'll make all year. And speaking of next week, I've got a guest joining me on air, I think every day next week. It is a voice you probably know, a voice that has been on the air in St. Louis before, and they'll be in town, so they're spending the week here with me. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I wish I could give you more details, but, you know, I got to keep some secrets. But let's not get ahead of ourselves because it's only Thursday. Tomorrow is our last Hot Country Nights show of the season, which is awesome for me because I've spent almost every Friday night of the last 3 months at Ballpark Village. But it's a great way to end the season this year because we've got Dylan Marlowe headlining and Neon Union's opening the show. Tickets are at 923WIL.com. Hopefully we see you there since it's our last Hot Country Nights show of the year. But yeah, that's the update for the week. Also, something that sounds kind of morbid, but a tragic anniversary that I saw this week. It's the 61st anniversary of Patsy Cline's untimely death. Okay, and you're like, Casey, I don't care. But I thought about what I did last week talking about Charles Esten and how I really enjoy a deep dive of a country artist or just getting into the weeds of things in the country history that I don't know before. And I wanted to tell you about it because I'm sure a lot of you are in the same boat. I'm sure a lot of you, if you're listening to this, you're probably of my age or demographic in some way. And I felt kind of compelled to talk about her. And maybe that's because she was close to my age. Like, she was a huge deal. Let me set the scene for you. When Patsy Cline was 15, she started doing performances at her local radio station in Virginia. And this is around like 1945. So World War II has ended. It's a whole new era in the U.S. And this is back when artists would come into radio stations and just play live on the air. And artists that were local, artists that were new or unheard of. And she was one of them. And she got such a great, I guess, so much traction doing that, that she started making TV appearances. She started traveling for it. Like 10 years go by and she finally gets a record deal. And her song, Walkin' After Midnight.
Walkin' After Midnight
pops off on the country charts and the pop charts. Like, women have literally been defying pop and country charts since the beginning of time. So don't say shit about Taylor, Shania, Dolly. It goes way back. Now, keep in mind, like I said, at this time, she's around her mid to late 20s. She first got married when she was about 20 years old. But then when she was 27, she went ahead and pulled a Carly Pearce and got married and divorced same exact year. She does a TV appearance in Springfield, Missouri. What's up? She does a show called Ozark Jubilee, and that's where she meets her second husband. And this is apparently after she meets her second husband, she calls up her friends and she's like, no, this is love. So she's 27, divorced, remarried in 1 year, has a baby, and moves to Nashville so she can just fully dive into country music and give it all that she's got. And she has a few more hit singles come, and like Patsy Cline is all that. I don't really feel familiar with the style of this time, but every photo I've ever seen of Patsy Cline, I always thought she was much older than she was, because in my mind she looked like no offense, a 50-year-old housewife with like that short black pin curled up hair, always a collared shirt, never anything revealing, sometimes a cowgirl costume, but just not what we think of when we imagine a massive music artist in her 20s. So later on in her career, she does start getting into like cocktail dress looks, but it's really not what she's known for or what she's imagined as wearing. The late 50s, early 60s, Patsy Cline is everything, and she's the age that I am now, which is also wild to think about and kind of put myself in her shoes in my brain. But she becomes besties with other country artists like Loretta Lynn, Dottie West. The girls are girlin', and Patsy Cline even becomes the first female to headline her own show in Las Vegas, which is huge. She also becomes friends with June Carter Cash, and there was a time that June Carter actually recalled Patsy having premonitions of her own death, saying Patsy felt like this impending doom was upon her, or she had a feeling she just wasn't going to live much longer, which all unfortunately manifested itself when she was 30. She boarded a plane going from Kansas City to Nashville in the small private plane. It got caught up in a cloudy afternoon, gusty winds. The pilot lost control, and the plane ended up crashing into the woods of Camden, Tennessee, and it killed everyone inside on impact. Three passengers and one crew member, of course, the pilot. And there was even one witness nearby who said they heard the huge crash, and then it was just followed by silence. It never quite feels real when we lose an icon, but specifically when they are so young. You know, she left behind her husband, but also her two little kids. And although Patsy Cline was known as an icon in country music, she only had her recording career for 8 years. She had really only been doing it professionally for 8 years, and she made such a huge impact. Because think of how scarce female country artists are right now. I know what you're thinking. You're like, no, there's Carrie, there's Miranda, there's Martina, Shania. It's not. There are so many more male artists, especially on the charts, especially on country radio airplay. What's up? It is what it is. And artists like Patsy Cline, who came through and just started, boom, putting out all these hits, one after the next. And they were cross-genre hits, country hits that became pop hits. She was known nationwide, and she was barely 30 years old.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
So, as we embark on the 61st anniversary of that tragic accident, I think it was only right to do a little deep dive into Patsy Cline, pay a little bit of respect to her, and it also got me thinking about artists that have been in plane crashes or helicopter crashes, and I really think that that's what I'm going to talk about next week because it is so much more common than you realize, so hopefully you'll tune in. Otherwise, I say we go ahead and jump into the biggest stories of the week that I covered on air with Casey Covers Country. Have you ever seen an artist perform somewhere that wasn't a concert venue per se? I know like back in the day, new artists would set up and perform in malls, or I mean, Jelly Roll did a show in a Walmart parking lot last year. But how about an airport? I didn't even know this existed in the Nashville airport in BNA, but they've got a whole stage section set up at the gates, where I guess new artists can come and perform acoustic sets while people are waiting for their flights. I don't know. That's so Nashville of them. But Keith Urban just happened to pop up there for an impromptu show. Nobody knew about it. And I'm telling you, there could not have been a single person in the gift shops or at that airport Starbucks because he had a massive crowd gathered. I just think, if you were walking through an airport to find your gate, all of a sudden you hear some loud music, you see a massive crowd at B15 just to find out that it's Keith Urban and his whole band. That's a fun story to tell. Shania Twain being commemorated for Women's History Month by Barbie. Barbie has created a 2024 version of Shania Twain, and they made the statement, "Around the world, women have always risen above the status quo to imagine bigger possibilities for themselves and future generations. And for 65 years, Barbie has upheld the belief that through storytelling and play, you can be anything." So they've actually created this whole group of Barbies for the occasion, including one for Helen Mirren, Viola Davis, Kylie Minogue. Like, there are a ton here from different backgrounds, even different nationalities, like celebrities I haven't heard of before. And the Shania doll, I'm undecided if I like how the Shania doll looks, possibly because this isn't my favorite Shania era. She's rocking the super long pink hair that she had the last time she was here in St. Louis. If you went and saw her at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, you know exactly the look that I'm talking about. It doesn't really scream classic Shania to me. But hey, I guess that's the beauty and the evolution of it all. And I actually posted it to our Facebook page, to our Instagram story, so you can follow us at 92.3 WIL. See the doll, see the story. Dolly Parton is no stranger to surprising us with the things that she does. But this headline I saw today has to be the weirdest thing I've ever seen Dolly do. She announced an updated version of her song 9 to 5, which is cool. We all know it. We all love it. Except this time there's another artist on the track with her, and it is not who you'd expect. This time it's 9 to 5 featuring Pitbull.
Put your hands to the sky. This goes out to the women working hard 9 to 5.
Track. You know, a close friend of mine used to say that there are always two people in this world who are gonna be available no matter what. They are gonna be on the track if anyone asked them to be. It is Nelly and it is Pitbull. And I don't know if I should even post this to our WIL Facebook page, because I know all you haters and all the people that say that ain't country are gonna be leaving the meanest comments. And I really don't blame you for it. That's the thing. But there's one part I cannot get over when he calls her
Donna.
Oh my gosh. I just found out Garth Brooks is involved with the cops. As Garth Brooks gears up for his grand opening of his new Nashville bar, Friends in Low Places, which happens tomorrow, I'm pretty sure, Garth Brooks is also seeing another big goal come together finally. The Lower Broadway Police Substation is officially opened. Garth and Trisha funded a new police station in Nashville. It opened its doors Monday night. If you've gone out in Nashville, specifically the Broadway or downtown areas, you know that having access and easy access to law enforcement is crucial, because it gets gnarly down there. It's so packed and crowded. People get drunk. People get rowdy. People are tired and hungry and on their worst behavior. And a lot of things can go wrong if you don't have access to that law enforcement. So I think this is such a great idea of Garth and Trisha. Very good move on their part when it comes to their community. And the chief of police made a statement that says, "We try to ensure that we have enough officers down here to keep downtown safe, so we created an entertainment district unit so that they can have a substation that's all theirs. It's an exciting time, and it's a historical time to see this happen." I'm a little shocked it hasn't happened sooner. I'm sure the police departments of Nashville are stoked that Garth and Trisha used their dime to build it and put it together. It's beautiful, by the way. It has like a big neon police sign that really fits right in with the rest of Broadway. And of course, like I said, their Friends in Low Places bar happens, well, the grand opening happens tomorrow. So it's a huge week for Garth and Trisha. Perfect timing for another police station. Pictures, more info, it's on Facebook. Have you heard the rumors lately? Carly Pierce is shutting down rumors that she's feuding with Maren Morris. Carly Pierce posted to Twitter yesterday, Monday, and she's going to bat with her fans right now, saying that there's no beef between her and Maren Morris. And it all started when fans found out that Carly recorded a song with Maren's ex-husband, Ryan Hurd. That divorce was just finalized, I want to say, a few weeks ago. Carly Pierce tweeted and said, "Ryan Hurd has been a friend of mine for over 10 years. I was asked by my label to record a song with him. Of course, I said yes, because he is a great artist. So stop making something out of nothing." I totally hear her there. And I'm following you. Like, that's absolutely nothing to make some rumors up about. But I think I just don't really believe it. Like, there's something underlying here that doesn't feel right. And maybe it's because I know that last year Carly unfollowed Maren, and I know that's so silly to bring up, like, social media and followers, and it never really means anything, except sometimes it does. Because when you're a celebrity, you gotta know people are keeping tabs on those things, and when you hit unfollow, it's usually to make some sort of statement. So who knows? But Carly Pierce, she doesn't want any of the confrontation. She's shutting it down online. If we know anything about Maren Morris, the girl loves confrontation, so if there's anything to be said, we know who's going to say it. Darius Rucker says there's one show that he wouldn't even make them pay him if he could be on it, if he could act on it. Darius Rucker, he's tried his hand at acting before. He's done a cameo on Reba's show, Big Sky. He also acts in some of his music videos. But really, he's got a big place in his heart for Yellowstone. And he says he would give anything if the creator, Taylor Sheridan, would let him on the show.
Yellowstone called. I would pay my own plane flight and hotel room, and they don't have to pay me, and I would be on that show. I love that show. I think I could steal Rip's wife.
He would steal Rip's wife? He's even writing himself a character onto the show now. First off, I don't know. I still think that Beth Dutton would chew up and spit out Darius Rucker, but I'm into it. I think country artists have been chomping at the bit to be a part of Yellowstone ever since Lainey Wilson got that role. And, I mean, Whiskey Myers is in, like, every single episode. So, Darius Rucker, you just keep shooting your shot. I gotta say, you can't be on the show if it never comes back, though. So, really, really, we need to start calling out the show to get them to finish it first. Eric Church thought of a pretty unique way to honor his fans with a brand new bar in Nashville. And yes, if you have forgotten, Eric Church is another country artist to be opening up a bar in Nashville this year, alongside Garth Brooks, Morgan Wallen, Old Dominion, Luke Combs. There's a lot happening down there, a lot popping up. And Eric Church's bar is going to be called Chiefs on Broadway. It's 6 stories tall. It's massive. And he's really giving all of the glory to his fans. He said, "You've helped build my career brick by brick, and I want the whole world to know that this building is yours. It's not just another club downtown. This is our house. I've been involved in restoring this historic building, every step of it, into a place that we can call our own because you've been with me every step of my career. I'm proud to dedicate a physical brick to every member of the Chiefs fan club." So if you're essentially part of his fan club, he will send you a deed to an individual brick that is on his bar in Nashville. And I know what you're thinking. Who is in fan clubs these days? I have the same thought, but not about Eric Church, because his fan club, massive. It's crazy. The people give his heart and soul for Eric Church. So I thought this was a really unique way to A, promote his new bar, remind everybody that he's building it, he's working on it, and make them feel a part of it, because now you can go there and you can say, "Hey, I have the deed to one of these bricks in this building." One of my favorite Dierks Bentley fun facts is that his name isn't actually Dierks. I mean, this is pretty normal for entertainers, especially country artists. Rarely do they use their real names on stage, but his name is actually Frederick Dierks Bentley. And Dierks was a last name on his mom's side of the family. He said when he started music, he didn't actually think they would let him go by Dierks as his stage name. And in fact, if he had anything to say about it, he wanted something cooler.
"I would have changed it to something cool, like Buck Bentley, you know, or, can't believe they let me, you know, out of the door with Dierks. What a weird name, but they did."
I'm sorry, but Buck Bentley doesn't quite fit the Dierks personality to me. I just can't imagine him as anything other than Dierks. And it works. He's come this far.
Casey covers country.